Wednesday afternoon shiur in Lady Shiur and Chavis Halvavos. We're at the beginning of Shara Vodos Alokim. Wednesday, Tes Teves, December 31st. Shara Vodos Alokim. I think it's the third shiur, but on Kuponim it's the beginning of Shara Vodos Alokim. Okay, I've spent a lot of time, relatively speaking, talking sort of a hakdama to Shara Avodas Elokim and what we could gain out of the Chavis Halvavos' perspective. Like, this is as major as it gets. I mean, with what attitude, what does he write in the Shara Daf? He writes, Madua ve'eich chaya fa'odam lekabel alatzma asavodas Elokim. Why and from what perspective, with what angle, in what way, what should be my perspective in my obligation? We know we're obligated to be mekabel avodas Hashem. So what's the most of the Shara talks about what it is, but in the Hakdama he talks about why it is. And again, it's like a question that if a kid would ask it, you throw it right out of the classroom, right? Or so I explained it's coming from inside. It's not an outside compulsion. It's not an outside force. Even Hashem doesn't want to hold a gun to our heads and get us to do the right thing. It's important that we serve Hashem because it's not because of an inner compulsion. That's an ideal. Just like Shara Bitachon is an ideal and Shara Habachina is an ideal. Chaim Salvavos is talking in ideals. If we can do a little of what he talks about, we've said this many, many, many times, if we could just do a little of what he says, so we're on the right track. And also a person has to know what's ideal, because if you don't know what's ideal, then you always downgrade everything. At least if you know what's ideal, so you know what you're shooting for, even if you never reach it. As long as you have the right attitude, meaning you don't get depressed and you don't say, well, then it's not worth it. You have to understand that every step you take is valuable. And even if you do anything the Chavis Halvavos tells you to have an attitude about, in Bitachon, we learned the whole Shara Bitachon, we're starting it again on Sundays. If you can do a little of it, or if you can do it once a week, or if you can think about it sometimes, that's wonderful. It also can transform your life. So, Shara Avodas Elokim, there's another nekuda. I'm continuing sort of in my hakdama to his hakdama. We talked about how great it is that what Chavis Halvavos is giving us really is a Pesach to serve Hashem from an inner compulsion, because I want to. It's true I have to, but that's not an ideal, that I do it because I have to, or because I'm going to get punished, or because I want a big reward. The Torah set it up, Hashem created mankind with the wiring of gratitude, and that, you know, an example is, you have a chasana to go to. So, you know, you don't really feel like going. It's not your best friend. And you have to get a babysitter. And you have to schlep to Yerushalayim. You have to sit in traffic. The music's going to be too loud. The food's going to be too greasy. You barely know anyone there. You just wore that dress last week. I don't know. Whatever's involved in picking a dress to wear for a chasana, I don't know. A man just has a black suit and fit the Fatar and Isaac. So you don't feel like going, and it's raining outside. Oh, and you don't feel like going. And then you remember, a small little example, you think about Hashem. Remember, this person read a shidduch for your daughter, and that's why your daughter's married. You jump up. You're like, how could I not go? And all of a sudden you're enthusiastic about going. You lose all traces of laziness. This is how a person is wired. How could I not go? It's the least I can do for them. I'm so grateful. And that's even if it was an easy shidduch, like they gave the name and it went kashmirit. If they had to work as hard as Mrs. Levitan, then like, you know. So then you'd go, you'd walk to the chasana. If there was no transportation, you would walk. Now that's an example, when you think of Hashem, you know, like when you're really, really grateful for something, you get enthusiastic, you become a zriza, you lose all traces of, oh, I don't feel like going. And really, it changes you. Look, it's like magic. And that's what the Chavis HaLevavos wants us to do with Hashem. A man has to get up in the morning and make Zman Kriya Shema, right? And it's cold outside, and he has to daven with a minyan. That's a nesayon men have. I don't know how to break the news to you, but they don't always feel like it. And, you know, and then you say, wow, Hashem gave me back my neshama. What? You jump up and you run. Like, how can I not? Here's my chance to say thank you. And that's what the Chavis HaLevavos is setting up. He's setting up an enthusiasm, an inner compulsion to do the mitzvah. I'm doing it because I want to, which is always a very thin tightrope, because we are obligated to do it. And he's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about Ha'ara Toranis and Ha'ara Sichlis. I have to be obedient, but I have to, but I do it because I want to do it. And he talks about the essentiality of both angles, the necessity of both perspectives. But as I said in the drasha last week, he makes very clear that the obedience mode is the stepping stone to the inner compulsion mode, where you want to do it. You do it because this is your way of saying thank you, of expressing your gratitude. Anytime anybody, as I said, everybody has experienced that when someone tells you how you could thank them, when you're really grateful to them, you realize that we have to thank Hashem for putting us in a situation where we can thank Him. Because it's literally true that we become thankful that they said, okay, you know what, I never had a good milchik kitchen set. It's not so expensive, you can thank me by... And you say, oh, thank you. Like they told you what to do to thank them. And you're really, really thankful for that. And that's really what the Chavis HaLevavos says about Hashem, that we have to be thankful that He gives us a chance to say thank you to Him. Okay. So we have, and that's what he's setting up in his Hakadama. That the motivating force of Avodas Hashem is gratitude. Every time we do a mitzvah, it's a way of saying thank you to Hashem. We are listening to you because we're acknowledging that you give us life. We're acknowledging. It's an acknowledgement. The Avodas Hashem, if you want, in the Chavis HaLevavos' world, Avodas Hashem, the nub of it, is what do Malachim do a whole day? What are we supposed to do a whole day? We're acknowledging Hashem. And that's the Ramban and Shmos. As I always say, the Chavis HaLevavos preceded the Ramban by 200 years. The nub of Avodas Hashem is acknowledgement that He created us, He's responsible for everything we do, have, think, breathe, and everything in our lives, including existence. We acknowledge that it's Him, and that's the way, that's the service. We can't do anything for Hashem. Hashem doesn't need anything. The service is acknowledgement, and the irony is that He then rewards us for that. There's another angle that I want to say before we get seriously into the text, and that is that what's perceived out there by thinkers of Torah Judaism out there, and there's discussions and journals and articles, and is that even from people are disconnected from Hashem. That's seen as a problem, that people are robotic. They don't use that word, but I'll use it. That's what they're talking about. Even from people don't feel a connection to Hashem. They don't, too many, not everybody, obviously. No one's sitting here, of course. But too many people are disconnected. And they feel disconnected. And adults go off the derech too, because they don't have any geschmack in doing mitzvahs. They don't have any geschmack. They don't really know why. This is a problem from teenagers, even if they're not texting on Shabbos, but they're not They don't get it. They don't really understand. So they'll do it for social reasons, force of habit. They don't want to cause sorrow to their parents. They sort of know, maybe they even believe in Gehenna, you know, so. But they don't feel connected to Hashem. And, there's an online journal called Klal Perspectives. It's like, it's old Jewish Observer people, I call it. The Sheyos HaPleita from the Jewish Observers at Zal. So their third online journal, and they take one topic. It's very good. It's a much better way to handle things. Instead of every three pages reading about something else cataclysmic and earth-shattering and all-important, then by the time you get to the end, you have a headache. So they pick one thing. It comes out twice a year. It's an online journal, and you can order it in print. Rather, there's like a service that prints it up and sends it to you for a couple of dollars, like a joke, $6, $8. So, Klal Perspectives, it's called. And I print it out. I don't. Sometimes I order it, sometimes I print it out myself, because you can print it out. It's an online journal. It's called Klal Perspectives. So the third one is about this issue. The third one is about... And they have Rabbi Moshe Weinberger, Rabbi Alma Piansky, Rabbi Nishin Swirsky, Rabbi David Fox, Chaya Newman. They even got a lady in there. They're Steiging. I don't think the Jewish was, maybe Jonathan Rosenblum, a psychologist of David Goldwasser, Yitzhak Adlerstein, Shaya Karlinsky. You might know many of these names. Rabbi Shmuel Zilber of David Goldman. And that's the third issue. It's 2 years ago, spring 2012. And they deal with this issue. And they say, how do you overcome this? Is it a problem, or is it just it's not really a problem? Is it really a pervasive problem, or is it not? How do we overcome the problem if it exists, or to whatever degree it exists? How do we teach it to the kids? How do we solve the problem? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm looking, they should say Chavis Halvavus, but no one says Chavis Halvavus. They didn't ask me to write an article for it. I wouldn't have known what to write. I just would have said Chavis Halvavus. Shara Vodas Elokim. That's really the answer to this. If every mitzvah you do is thank you, Hashem, so you're always connected. You're always connecting to Hashem. You're not doing anything by rote. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to. And it's not just I'm doing it because Hashem told me to do it and I'm going to get punished if I don't do it. You see, there's no gishmak in that. And you quickly end up just doing it by rote and it doesn't mean anything to you. And when something doesn't mean anything to you, especially nowadays, nowadays means, I'm already an old man, so nowadays means in my experience from the 60s, from the 1960s, I have to start saying that. Amidst Hashem, from the 1960s, I was a kid then, I was a teenager then. Everybody was rebellious. Everybody went against authority. Don't trust anyone over 30 till they became 30. And, Abby Hoffman and all these guys, all Jewish, and there was the Beatles, and it was nowadays, you tell a kid to do something, he wants to know why. And my kids know. I would never, what do you mean why? So you say, you can't say anymore because I said so. That doesn't play anymore. You have to sit with the kid and explain to him why. And you have to hope he agrees. You can't just say you have to be obedient to Hashem. It's really a very modern mahalach. What the Chavis HaLevavos is handing us is really a solution to a more modern problem. Because there were many, many centuries in Jewish life when obedience was certainly enough. Now, the Chavis HaLevavos in his Hakdama writes about what a problem this is, and that stirred him to write the Sefer. We should really learn Hakdama once. He writes, this problem that they're talking about in 2012 was the Chovas HaLevavos' problem and that's why he wrote the Sefer called Chovas HaLevavos. How do you engage the lathe in Avodas Hashem? And he writes the history of how he realized that Jewish life is missing something very basic. So that was way back when, over 1,000 years ago. Then the Baal Shem Tov really also came to deal with this problem. I don't know, very obviously Hasidus came to deal with this problem that people had no gishmak in Avodas Hashem. And that's what Hasidus. So they dealt with it in different ways, and there's different Hasidic movements. One is more with, you know, simcha and dancing and hislavos, and then some dealt with it intellectually, actually. Chabad dealt with it more by going into Sisrei Torah, and that gives you more of a geshmak, it was felt, and that's why he did it, the Balatanya, because that was the whole time on him, as he went to jail, and the whole Asik, that he's presenting to like laymen Sisrei Torah, you gotta do it. That was his answer. You gotta do it. Because otherwise they're gonna just fall away, because the intellectualism of learning Gemara and learning Shulchan Aruch of the literature world was creating a set of problems. So Hasidus came to that. Now in our days, you know, we're living in like a very democratic world where everything's a smorgasbord. So you have, it's like, who did YU take now to be their Mashgiach Ruchni, or Mashpia, whatever they call them? Rav Moshe Weinberger, right? Do I have the name right? I don't know. You don't know what? Yeah, and he's like Hasidus, really, and YU. Because there's a need. There's a need for that, and he talks about it. He's interviewed, and he talks about that. That's, I think if you read this week's Jewish, this month's, or this half year's, whatever it is, Jewish Action, the OU's journal, Jewish Action, I think, Jewish Action. They interview Rav Moshe Weinberger, and the cover says Neo Hasidus. And then everybody wants to be a little of Breslov, and a little of Chabad, and a little of this, and a little of that. No one likes Satma, unfortunately. But Satma has its Hislavos in Kanos. And there's something to be learned from that also. The Kanos of Pinchas ben Elazar, you know, where it bothers you. You don't just say, well, to each his own, and you do your thing, and I'll do my thing. And no, they don't accept that. So that's something to be said for that also. But Al-Kapon, that's this month, whatever, just came out, or whatever. I just got it, at least. Neo Hasidus. But that's what Hasidus came to solve also. The Chasidus came to solve it. And really, it's so funny that he came to solve this problem. And that's what he writes in his Agdom. And then Baal Shem Tov came to solve this problem. And we still have the problem. So that's the Chiddush, if you want to call it that, the whole setup of the Hakdom of the Shara Avodas Elokim really solves this problem. If a person learns Shara HaYichud, you see, it's a progression, it's a building. If you learn Shara HaYichud and you totally have internalized that everything is Hashem, everything is from Hashem, everything is Hashem. Then you do Shara HaBechina, so that every step you take, every breath you take, every thing you do is a gift from Hashem, and He's showering us with gifts. And Adheinu Azvuna Chamecha V'Azvuna Chasodecha and Alalaf Alfei Yalof V'Miribe Yavolos B'Mim Atavos Shosishon Alasen V'Imanu. And it's really mind blowing, mind exploding. If you would ever really think about all the things, so you do Shara Bechina. Then you get the Shara with the Solakim. It's like a no brainer, because you totally comprehend how everything's from Hashem, and therefore you have to thank Him. You're like bursting with gratitude. So like then the Hakdamah to Shara Avodas Elokim is like, yeah, of course, tell me, what can I do to thank You? How can I acknowledge that You have given me all these things? Tell me what to do. Now the irony is, as I keep calling it an irony, is that He wants us to lead lives which Ashrecha Bolam Azeh V'Tov Lach Olam Haba. You're not asking us to fast for 40 days and to stand on our heads or to be ascetics. He's telling us not to cheat, not to steal, to have Shabbos and Yom Tov. Very geshmak of life if you follow the Torah. So that's the irony. And then you get Olam Haba to boot. Then you have to thank Him for all of that. Okay. So that's what he explains in his Hakdama. Omer HaMachav Meshabiyarnu B'Mesha Ovar Chiyuv Yichud Elokim B'Leif Sholem. So I totally have internalized that Hashem Echad, everything, every breath I take, everything is from Hashem, everything is sent from Hashem, everything is created by Hashem, everything is built and enabled and runs through Hashem, by Hashem. Vofani b'china savos aval adam, and I've trained you how to appreciate and how to realize everything in your life. And again, the Chazavodos was written, Chazavodos' knowledge would be like around a fifth grader's knowledge nowadays, with the explosion of understanding how the Bria works, around the level of fifth grade. And he writes Shar HaBechina with a sense of wonderment and amazement. And, you know, we are Zoicha that if we want to delve into it, it's like Ein Sof. If you want to delve into the human eye, it's Ein Sof. And the Chavis HaBov is what he knew about the eye, and he wrote what he wrote with a sense of amazement and wonder and thankfulness and gratitude. It's like a joke. Look, I mean, what we know, how complex and how chochmadik the eye is, and how versatile. Because we have, we can buy a camera, right? So the eye is like an like an amazing camera, at the very least, and it's connected to the brain. Which for who kibul avodas Elokim? So you internalized yichud and you internalized bechina, his chayavnu. So what, obviously we're obligated, an inner obligation. No one's telling us to do this. It's just human nature. Now, Hashem created man that way. Hashem created man, which means he created the perfect system where a man, where it's so easy, if a person follows natural human impulses, he'll run to serve Hashem. That's all. As much as you want to say thank you when someone buys you a gift. So you'll run to serve Hashem, because we're magnifying that by a million times, and nothing he demands of us is too hard. So his chayavnu liskorachakach ma'ashotam chayav linog bo. So that the next human step is to have gratitude and be thankful and to acknowledge that Hashem has given us all of this. And therefore, if he says, "This is what I want you to do, to thank me, to acknowledge me," the overwhelming majority of all the mitzvahs, as the Ramban says at the end of bo, is just acknowledgement of Hashem. You take challah, acknowledging Hashem. You eat matzah, acknowledging Hashem. You have a mezuzah, acknowledging Hashem. The overwhelming majority of mitzvahs is acknowledging Hashem. The benodim lachaveros can be looked at from a godly perspective as well. As I said on Shabbos, the halachta bedrachov, we're emulating Hashem. So we're becoming closer to Him if we emulate Him and we exhibit a giving nature. We don't take advantage of people, but we give to people rather than take. We're emulating Hashem, and we're being more godly, and the Mela, we're being more spiritual. We're being more spiritual. The goal is to be a spiritual, and to be Dovek Bashem. So the more we do V'halachta B'drachov, the more spiritual we are. So ironically, all Ben Odom Lachaveiro is V'halachta B'drachov, being a no-sane. So we're also connecting with the Almighty. So Kshayizbaru Esel, so when you clarify Shar HaBechina, you're going to run to do the Ratzon Hashem. V'hu kibol avodas Elokim, kefi asher yichayveyu ha-seichel, that's the way a person is wired, the seichel obligates you. It doesn't obligate you with a gun. It doesn't obligate you with schar va'onesh. It obligates you with an inner compulsion. You can't rest until you've thanked the person, until you've showed your appreciation. We call it a debt of gratitude. We even call it that. Lameitiv al mashahetiv lo. This is how a human being is wired. Hashem wired a person that way. So that, our avodas Hashem, could be, in an ideal way, with an inner compulsion that I want to do this. So that's so beautiful. He wired us. So when you say thank you, when a person buys you a gift, that's Hashem's wiring of the human psyche in order to enable our avodas Hashem to be in a perfect form. Not to be done through compulsion, through outer compulsion, not even to be done with schar va'onesh, but I want to do Ratzon Hashem. I want to. V'roi l'haktim b'psichas hashar hazeh. So what I will do in the psicha of this shar is bir ofani haltovos. I'm going to go through different categories of people who are thankful to other people, different relationships. which call for gratitude, parent-child, employer-employee, good friends, rich and poor people, recipients of tzedakah, or maybe recipients of a loan. I'm going to go through all these relationships, and I'll show you v'nale mizeh, and then I'll leave it up to you, the reader, to be logical and to say, wow, if that's how I feel, I need a mortgage for my house, and someone gives me an interest-free loan, and I don't have to pay him back for 10 years, I go out of my mind with gratitude, and I can't do enough for him, I just have to be careful about the isaribis. Right? But, so Hashem, like, okay, 10 million times that. V'nale mizeh masha, and you see, people are thankful, children are grateful to parents, let's not get cynical, they're supposed to be. If they become grateful when they become parents. That's when they become grateful. And so all the examples he'll give, all the categories, all the relationships he gives will then be a springboard to say, well, kol shekein v'kol shekein v'kol shekein v'kol shekein Hashem. V'nala mizeh ma shonachayov b'lebori yisalem en ha-shevach la-hodo al rov chasdo v'godol tuvo aleinu. Because it's like, it's incomparable. V'nomar. So we'll start with this. Kimin ha-yodua etzleinu, what is natural, normal human behavior. Ki kol meitev eleinu, someone does a tova for us. Someone does something for us. Anu chayovim l'hodo slo, we are obligated, meaning, as human beings. This is the way Hashem made us. We're obligated to thank them, to acknowledge what they did. You know what's much worse? I mean, we all experience this. What's much worse than not being thanked is not even being acknowledged. Right? That's like much worse. That hurts more. You don't even, forget about you don't say thank you, but you don't even acknowledge that I did this for you? Like you feel much. So there's acknowledgement and thanks. That's why hoda'o means to admit, not just to thank. Because every thanks involves an admission that I owe the person something because they did something for me. So that your acknowledgement is in the word hoda'o, because it also means to admit, not just to thank, because it comes from the same root. Because thanking involves an admission that I couldn't have done it on my own. I needed you. And if not for you, I wouldn't have had this. So thank you. But that's not being thanked as a halbatzara. Not being acknowledged hurts even more. V'nemar kimina yadua etzleinu kikol meitav eleinu anachayom lahodos lo kvi kavanos l'ho'olanu. So the DNA of a person, the psychology of a person, is that the more the person meant to do good for me, the more I'll thank him. If someone inadvertently does something good for me, I feel less compulsion to thank him. That's normal human reaction. The musr of Moshe not wanting to hit the water or not wanting to hit the sand is just that. Musr. It doesn't make sense. But it's midos tovos. It's training yourself to be grateful and because everything, because really, as the Chavis points out, in the human psyche of having a debt of gratitude, of being grateful, of being thankful, of acknowledgement, it's going to depend on how much the person meant to do for me. The more self-interest they had, the less thankful I will feel. That's the reality. I'm saying in the Musar angle, right, so even if it's an inanimate object, I'm supposed to feel thankful, I'm supposed to acknowledge. That's Musar. Meaning it's midos tovos. You're training yourself to act a certain way. But the truth is, the reality is that the inner compulsion, as we're calling it, of being grateful and having gratitude, it's going to be on a sliding scale of how much they meant to do for us. If it happened inadvertently, so I don't feel that thankful. I wouldn't feel thankful at all, the truth is. Min hanimus and midos tovos, I'm supposed to acknowledge you know, we're not putting Hashem in the picture, obviously. Hashem sent the rock, and Hashem sent the water, and Hashem sent the sand. And his point is going to be, he's going to be very, you have to hold your breath now, we're going to learn, Chavis HaLov is going to be very, very cynical. He's going to say that anybody that does something for anybody else, there's an element of self-interest involved. It's not Meya Achuz, selfless. Whether it's parents, or an employer, or an usher giving money to a ani, he's very cynical. He says, there's always some self-interest. There's something in it for me. And he'll explain what. He explains what. Obviously, the most selfless, the most seemingly selfless thing is parents. But then he says, it's also, you know, there's something, you know, it's my child, you know, it's my, it's me, it's part of me. You don't act that way to someone else's child. So it's because it's me. So that's called self-interest. His point is only to make this realization, because his oisfier, what he's driving at, is that when Hashem does things for us, forgetting about the magnitude of what he does for us, which is incomparable to what anybody else does for us, someone that picks me up off a street bench and gives me a job and a college education and a wife and a house, etc., doesn't come close to comparing to Hashem, who gives me sight and the ability to think and the ability to digest food and the ability to walk, etc., etc., etc. But besides the magnitude, both in kamus and in echus, but Hashem is of course totally selfless. So that explodes the gratefulness factor, because there's nothing in it for Hashem. So if we assume and we see, if we look around, we see that the degree of gratitude is on a sliding scale with the degree that the person had no self-interest in it. So he's going to say, well, then everybody has some self-interest. So Hashem is like on a whole different level, because it's 0, 0, 0 self-interest to Hashem. He has, right, obviously. So besides the kamus and the echus, but the degree of the gratitude is also beyond anything else, because only Hashem is totally selfless. That's his point here. But no makimina yadua etzlenu ki kol meitav eilenu enu chayovim lahodos lo kafi kavanosa lahoelanu v'mitzur b'maaseihu l'dovar sheyikrehu v'yimneu mehetav eilenu. And the truth is, if someone sincerely wants to lend us the money, and then it turns out he can't do it, we feel gratitude anyway. He's describing a human psyche. We feel grateful. You know, I know he wanted to help me. That's what he says. V'im yitzer b'maaseihu l'dover sheyikrehu, because of something that happened. V'im na'ehu mehetev eleinu. Also, chova oleinu, we still feel obligated to acknowledge that he wanted to do something for us, and he was ready to do something for us. So he's trying to prove that it's hooked up with the person's intention to do good for us. And if something good happens to us inadvertently, the person that caused it, it was inadvertent, we don't feel that same sense of obligation to be grateful, because it happened inadvertently. So it's all totally in kavona. So now he's going to say everybody's kavona is flawed. That's going to be his, saying the word cynical, his cynical point. He should be ma'achum for using the word, but that is what his point is. That everybody's kavona, again, gratefulness, gratitude is dependent on the degree to which the person wanted to do good for me. And we see that if he really, really wanted to and he wasn't successful, I still have a debt of gratitude. That's how I'm wired. And if someone did the greatest favor for me, but it was inadvertent, I just don't feel that grateful to him. And I was going to say, I'm going to show you 5 relationships of seeming selflessness, where the recipient is makir tov, but they're all flawed. They're all flawed. They were doing it for themselves. Also, only primarily, secondarily, whatever. There was self-interest involved. So that lessens the degree to which they meant to do good for me, because there was something in it for them also. So that would lessen my debt of gratitude. And then you're going to say, Mashenken Hashem, it's unflawed, nothing in it for him, totally selfless, and therefore my gratitude is boundless. Besides that it's boundless because of all that he does for me, and besides that it's boundless because of the types of things he does for me, but it's also boundless because there's no self-interest. That is the Chazal's point. The kashin is bonim betolus bnei adam ktsosim al ktsosim. When I go through different relationships, einin yotzus meyachem mechabish upon him. It's going to be one of five things. Echad tolus avol aben, a parent. Hasheni tolus odon al avdo. We'll call that an employer and an employee. We don't really have masters and slaves anymore. Vashlishi, except for our boss. Vashlishi tolus haoshir al harosh kedei lekabel schar shemayim. I don't know why he throws this in at this point. That's going to be his point when he talks about it. The osher giving to the ani. For Ravi, he told us, stop, you do favor for a friend. Told us, b'nei adam k'tzosim l'k'tzosim. And then again, he throws in already what he's going to talk about. Liknas Hashem v'akobod v'legmul ha'olam. I have a cheshman. When I need a ride, someone's going to give me a ride. So I'm going to give this guy a ride, because I want a ride, but I'm standing there. Okay. V'achamishi, told us, v'chazak alacholosh. B'avurchem loso olav. Shukoi v'alanyano. The powerful that helps the powerless. So the Chazal says, because he feels his pain. See? Very modern guy, the Chazal. He feels his pain. So, but look at him, he's being very cynical. So I want to assuage my own pain. I can't stand seeing that. It hurts me to see that Ani starving. It hurts me to think of the Ani being cold and not being able to have steam in the house, and his children's teeth are chattering. That bothers me. I'm going to run and give him money. So the Chazal, you realize what you're saying. You're really doing it. There's an element of selfishness there. You want to take away your pain. You want to take away your sorrow. Hashem has zero self-interest. That's what he's... Right? So imagine that Karas HaTov we have to Hashem. It's like bursting out of... It should be bursting out of us. The tzorach shenai and at the bekavonos kol asher sipanu. So now I'll go through these relationships that I just mentioned. The main atluya bedavar ki im lo toelos mishem etivin aleim. Let's examine if it's selfless. Imlo utchilosam number one tolos oval beno umina yodua. Okay, take a deep breath. Ki u'mechavin rak lo toelos atzmo bo. Come on, you mean your own self interest? Why? But there's a reason. It's an instinct. We're not talking about. I don't think any parent really stops and says, oh, I'm going to do this kid a favor. We're talking even, he's talking instinctively, but he's talking objectively. He's analyzing it. He's saying this instinct is really, has a selfishness to it too, or call it a self-motivating factor. Why? Because the bain is a shtick of the father. Your child is a part of you. It's part of who you are. Right? You're not doing this for the kid next door. You're not staying up a whole night with a sponge bath, you know, patting down his forehead because he has a high fever and you're not sleeping and you have to go to work tomorrow and you're sitting there. You're not doing it with the kid next door. Why? Because this is your child. So the Chazal says that's a flaw. It doesn't mean a flaw, chisaron, and you have to do tshuva, kum yom kippur. He means in terms of being selfless. In terms of being selfless, so it's not selfless. It's I'm doing it because it's my child and it's part of me. See, when we say it's part of me, so we're describing a selfless act. But Chazal is pointing out very, maybe harshly, he's comparing it to Hashem. Hashem has nothing. Right? We all have hopes for our children. We're invested in our children. Saying so we help them and we give. I give your children money, and I'm not giving the next door neighbor money. Let his father give him money. Why? Because we're invested in our children. So the Chazal is very calmly pointing out that, you don't like the word selfish, so pick a different word. But it's self-interest. It's because it's my child, I'm invested in my child, and I want my child to succeed. I want my child to be good. I want my child to grow. I want my child to have good things in life, because it's my child. And he can even care more about the child than himself. Right? He'll take food out of his own mouth and give it to the child. He's not describing a mean, evil person. He's describing the most selfless parent in the world. He says, look, he'll take food out of his own mouth. There's nothing he won't do to have the child avoid being hurt. And he'll even take it on himself. And, let my child rest. My child's not feeling well. I'll run out to the store and I'll run out and I'll get everything for him. And that's his natural instinct. It's unbelievable. But he's saying it's because it's part of me. It's selfless. He's describing a father or a mother that will do anything for the child and will take bread out of their own mouths and give it to the child if the child's hungry. Because it's your child, as he says. And therefore, this kibud av v'aim, which is miyusad on hakaras hatov. V'imzeh kol zeh chivu hatorah v'aseichel. The Torah and Seichel obligates al haben ha'avoda v'akovod v'hayira. Kama shoma ha'kozot kabe yasavicha v'simecha uksiv ish'imo v'oviv tiro shma b'ni musag v'vicha v'akotosh t'ra v'simecha v'omar ben yechabido v'ever adonov. Now, first of all, the father and mother are self-invested. Second of all, it's a natural instinct. So you really have to be thanking Hashem for creating this instinct. Guess what? This is also thank you, Hashem, for creating this instinct. So first of all, there's an element of self-interest. Second of all, it's an instinct. The father and mother didn't sit and learn a Musa Sefer for a few years till they were able to be selfless to their children. It's instinct. So thank you, Hashem. It's not like... And still, there's no greater obligation than kibud av v'aim. I mean, you have to show your hakara. Even though, again, the psychology of gratitude will be on a sliding scale towards which the person meant and decided to help me. And there's probably no greater obligation of hakara satov than kibud av v'aim. Because it really is like as selfless as you're going to get. But, nevertheless, as Allah says, it's flawed. Then he goes through the other relationships and shows how everyone has an element of self-interest, some more, some less. And then he says, but Hashem, again, not only is it no comparison to regarding what we're thanking Him for and the nature of what we're thanking Him for, but this aspect of gratitude is also, there's no dimion. You can't compare. Hashem's totally, totally, totally selfless. So it's like just, it's just mind-blowing how much you have to be thankful to Hashem. And that's where Avodas Elokim has to come from, expressing your gratitude. Okay?